F1A. Number 5A.
Now, what I want to do this week actually is also that I would like to culture, as far as one can teach that, to culture the way one is pondering a subject and not just read and study a subject, but how to culture ourselves into actually being able to think in categories of being, which, as we have seen yesterday and this morning, is that which is necessary for the future age. That to come from the 6,000 to the 7,000 year period means that we make that transition from thinking in ideas and in thinking in specific ideas to the point where we are hearing just the tonality of the capitalized terms, but also the tonality of whole categories of being. And this is something that we can culture a little bit this week by just going over and over these things until one gets accustomed to the tonality of it. Now, you see, for instance, another question which we can ask about this index I is, why are those four epitomes of the verticals, why are they in the Christ matrix? Couldn't they be in any other matrix? We know we have a word matrix, a Christ matrix, a Christianity matrix with the epistles, we have a science matrix with the textbook, we have the oneness matrix with the oneness idea, so that we would have to ask ourselves, can we really hear, spiritually hear, that these epitomes, these four epitomes here, can only be in a Christ matrix and not in another matrix? Which would mean that these four epitomes all would have to have the overall tone of a Christ in it, because the Christ matrix. That already demands quite a bit of cultured sense of a category. We have here the calculus, which is a fourfold calculus, but it is under the roof category or under the top category of the Christ, and therefore every one of those epitomes must in some way reflect that roof category of the Christ. So let's look at those epitomes again and see, can we see in each one of them really that roof category of the Christ? We have here as the word, the monopotency of God, good. And we said this indicates the word standpoint because the focal point is God. Now, why is that not in the word matrix? Why is that in the Christ matrix? Can you see? Therefore, it must have in it some kind of a Christ touch. What is that Christ touch in that epitome? That Christ touch is really good. That the word is only good. And shows that the Christ is that which says God cannot be applied like in metaphysics for good and evil. All the other religion and metaphysical group have a God and a powerful God, but they can apply it for good and evil. Not so here, because the Christ says, I am only that which brings about good. And so gives to that word column a sense that that power of God can only be applied for the good and nothing else. So there you get the touch of the Christ. Actually, when we come to the second column, there it is difficult insofar as we have here in the Christ matrix, the Christ standpoint. So it gives even more stress to the Christ. Here you can see it is the Christ is the manifestation. It is the Christ manifestation. Manifestation is the Christ. And from the Christ standpoint in the matrix, it shows that it brings out its Christ-likeness. So bringing out likeness is something else than manifestation. These are the two Christs in here. Do you see that? The overall tone of the Christ matrix says the Christ manifests itself. At the point of the second vertical, it says, I manifest myself as what? As my own likeness. I translate, so to say, God to the point of idea, the first translation. So you have two levels of Christ in it, two offices of Christ in one epitome. We come to Christianity, and we have there the preservation of the idea in consciousness. Let's just say the preservation of the idea. Well, we have seen that's typically Christianity because the focal point is on idea. What is the Christ in it? The overall tone of the Christ. It is that which says the Christ is that which preserves it. Because it needs an act, the Christ is always an activity, says it needs an activity that the idea is being preserved or conserved so that nothing can happen to that idea. It is as if the Christ would be a protecting shield to the idea, and that is what the Christ does. It acts in order to. That's the preservation, in order to preserve the idea from being hurt or being defaced or being destroyed. So again you have the dynamics of the Christ in it, the preservation or the preserving activity of the Christ that preserves the idea. If you go to the fourth column, the operation of the idea in its principle, you see at once the standpoint of science in it is that the idea is in principle, but it doesn't say, for instance, that principle and idea is one. It says it brings in the Christ. The Christ is the operation, it's the dynamic. It says the operation of the idea in its principle. So it is quite a different statement than when Jesus said, I and the Father are one. That's also science, but that's under another roof category. Under the roof category of the Christ, we always must have that Christ dynamic in it. Yes? Shall I go over it again? I think I should, huh? We have the Christ matrix. So everything must be under the tonality of the Christ. So I talk about the roof category of that matrix, namely the Christ. The Christ is always the dynamic sense of God. That there is a dynamic and operative sense going on. It's in the cybernetic model, it's always the processing of it, the processing of the input. And you hear there again, it's the dynamics of it, where things happen and do happen. So let's hear that happening What happens when that is seen as a calculus in absolute Christian science? In the world, it happens that that dynamic says, in the world, that God can only bring about good and nothing else. That power is only there to bring out good and not evil. And you get a starting point of the dynamic that says, what is now going to happen is out of a source that is only good. And then you go to the second vertical and you hear that that is going to manifest itself in something, and that something is like the original, in Christ's likeness. And you hear the dynamics of it. And so you go further to Christianity and you hear the dynamics that something is constantly at work and operates so that the idea is always preserved, that it is error-correcting in itself, that it is that rule that is error-preventing in itself, so that it is preventative, that is protecting. You get the dynamic on the focal point of idea, that something happens round about that idea that always safeguards that idea. And you have a feeling that in that universe of idea there is the Christ going on that safeguards the idea so that the idea cannot be destroyed. And then you hear as the last column really the science sense of it, and you hear the Christ operative as an idea to glorify God, to bring the idea back to God, to show the beauty of the idea of the principle. And that naturally can go on and on until one sees the whole structure of principle, the delicacies of that principle, the fineness of that principle, all the shades and shadows of how that principle works. All that is the Christ operation. Did that flow? So little by little. Now, can you see we have not used up to now a synonymous term? We have not even said much about Word, Christ, Christianity and science. We could bring that into an atmosphere, into a spiritual atmosphere. And it is that atmosphere that we have to culture. That's the tonality of it. It's a child's play, really, to talk about yes, the Word, and the Christ, and Christianity, and science, yes, mind, spirit, soul, principle, yes, life, truth, and love. Nothing goes on but life, truth, and love. These are all words. We must see that we get the tonality of it, that we get the spiritual touch of it, the spiritual feel of it, so that something within us is speaking. Not we have to speak those 15 root notions, but that something within us speak constantly, that something sounds within us and sounds through us constantly as the tonality of these terms. And the only way I have seen up to now to culture that is to go over it and over it and over it. But not in terms, but in listening. In spiritual listening, in spiritual seeing, in spiritual feeling it, seeing the beauty of it, the flow of it, so that little by little, as one does that, one begins to feel that one is embedded in a completely different universe. I go over it again, and I go over it just to, and you flow with me. Don't use too much your brain and your thinking. Just have one thing in view. There is a category called the fourfold operation in absolute Christian science, molded by the impact of the Christ dynamics. So that if we are in any situation, facing any situation, any problem, any trouble, whatever it is, we really can put that all behind us and say, I want to know, and I want to see, and I want to hear, and I want to feel what is really going on in reality. I don't want to know what unreality is, what the arguments of unreality is. I don't want to know that. And so, in this Christ matrix, you sit back and say, what's going on? And you say, at the point of the Christ, as the roof category, you can feel within yourself nothing is going on but the dynamics of the saving Christ, of the helping, saving, liberating Christ. And already something within you gets at rest and at peace. And you say, well, what is meant with that? It means, and then you go to the calculus, to that whole flow of the category, and you see that saving, helping, aiding, liberating Christ is that which is the only power of God and only good. And something within us says, I don't need to fear anything, only good is going on. How is that good going on? You come to the Christ and says, that manifests itself. You can be sure it manifests itself in you, in a situation, in the world, as God's own likeness. And again, you feel much more at peace, much more at rest, so that you feel no other power is going on, no other things can touch me. And you go on with that idea and come to Christianity and see, and that healing, saving Christ, which as the word is the only power, power of good, and comes to each point as the Christ, is bringing out an idea that is eternal, that is indestructible, that can never be changed, that never can be hurt, that can never be destroyed. Something beautiful is being brought out, and you feel even more at ease and more at rest. You are no more fearing anything. And then you go further and go to science, to the fourth column, and say, and that idea is not here just to serve you. That idea is here that it will show you something more about the divine principle. And you will be lifted up more and more in your understanding to see more and more about reality and the principle of reality. And you feel really that you can bend your knees and worship that calculus. And you see, you just flow always in the order of being. Can that touch you? Just do that. 100 times, 200 times, how many? Doesn't matter which way, every time it will be in a slightly different way, with slightly different wordings or feelings, but always correct in the tonality of it. Don't jump from the word to the Christianity, or from the Christ to science. Go gently the way, and little by little you will feel that it is a flow that becomes so natural that you don't have to think about it. It flows by itself. Now, that was the index I. Now let's have a deeper look at the index J. We already have seen that index J is also depicting the word, the Christ and Christianity and science, but from the standpoint of Christian science, which is a relative standpoint, where we consider really how the absolute sense touches the relative sense, the human plane of things, the material planes of things, because the Christ must be a savior, must save us from a so-called opposite, it must save us from a so-called dualistic sense of things. As long as we have a material body and are living in a material world, we are living really in a dualistic sense, and we are trained through thousands and thousands of years to think in a dualistic way. So this is not an easy job to get rid of that dualistic sense. But we have to get rid of it. And so the matrix helps us to culture our consciousness into such a way that it frees ourselves of believing at least that the dualistic sense is a reality, and bring it at least to the point of just the belief. And then afterwards the belief can disappear. So let's see those four in the index J. The divine purpose defined, you can recognize this as the word, I guess. Because every time you define something, you state your proposition and define your proposition, that's the word, your starting point. And so, first of all, we must have a right starting point. If we have that right starting point, then we come to the Christ, to the Be. Namely, to see that the divine purpose has a Christ within itself. Whatever is divine has a Christ. Whatever is human has no Christ. So all the humanism that is preached today has no Christ. It's the willpower and human power that brings about a effect, a healing, or anything like that. But whatever is divine has within itself the Christ power. How does that Christ power manifest itself when it is looked at from the human standpoint? Then it is seen as that Christ which comes to the flesh to destroy incarnate error, as one of the definition is. So the Christ is that which says, I take the divine purpose of the word, and I enforce that divine purpose of the word, and I enforce it to the point where it translates all that is unlike the divine back into the divine. That's B. The enforcement of the translation of two-ness back into oneness. So you can see that this has to do with the relative sense. Because from the absolute sense, we don't know two-ness. The absolute sense has only a one-valued logic, whereas the human has a two-valued logic, and that must be resolved. And that can only be resolved by translating the wrong back into the true. When that happens, and in the measure that happens, we have an effect in the human. The effect in the human, the moment you have effect, you have Christianity. The effect is, at the point of C, the disappearance of evil and the reappearance of good, which is rendered inescapable. You can't escape it. Again, you get the sense. Now, through the translation of the Christ, the effect of it is that we lose the sense of evil, and that we gain more and more the sense of good, and so more and more our sense of evil disappears, and our sense of good appears, and in that measure, as that goes on, we begin to demonstrate the divine purpose that was set out in the word. So, all this, we have seen, is not going on as a mystical operation. as something that is just a matter of faith or of mysticism. In science, it is a matter of how we come to the fourth, to understanding. All that does not happen somewhere except in understanding. It doesn't happen in God, because God doesn't know anything about dualism. It only the human misunderstanding, or the, let's say, the human way of thinking, has a dualistic sense. And that human way of dualistic thinking has to be put straight. And that we call understanding. We must understand what exists in reality and what does not exist in reality. And so we can say that whole process of the Christ translation, translating itself to the point of evil, to the point of the flesh, and destroy incarnate error, is something that must go on in our understanding. That's why then the major prophets call for understanding. We'll show that as we go on, that they say that's the main point, understanding. And if we take the textbook and ask ourselves, what is it that Mrs. Eddy has at the core of her whole teaching? We must say, well, the core of her whole teaching is that she wants to present the science of being, a science of being which must be, from the human standpoint, understood. So understanding goes right through the textbook as a great demand that is demanded of the student. Get understanding, and with all you're getting, get understanding, and not belief, and not just reiterating words. I always feel that every light also throws great shadows. The light that has brought with the science of Christian Science is terrific light, and it throws also dark shadows. And that shadow is to use terms, and just to talk in terms. And meaning that because we use other terms than the religionist, that is science. It isn't science, just using different terms. Those terms must have meaning. Those terms must be our whole inner being. And then they are spiritual and not just words. Yes.